Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the full year results for Nanosonics conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Michael Kavanagh, CEO and President. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and a very good morning, everybody, and thank you all for dialing in. I'm joined here in Sydney by McGregor Grant, our CFO. By now, you all probably have had a chance to review our FY19 results, which I think clearly demonstrates that Nanosonics definitely has continued to go from strength to strength, delivering excellent growth in our core trophon business, as well as making important and significant investments as part of our longer-term strategic growth agenda, in particular across areas such as our research and development activities, but importantly, geographical expansion, but also investments in our people and organizational capability. And as reported this morning, the key highlights really were that we achieved record full-year sales of 84.3 million, which was up 39% on prior corresponding period. And this revenue was made up of capital sales of 32.8 million, which was up 28% on PCP, and sales of 51.5 million associated with consumables and service, which was up 47% on PCP. And that demonstrates excellent growth in the annuity revenue from a strongly growing installed base. And the installed base itself, it did continue to grow strongly, up 18%, where at the end of June, we had a global installed base of 20,930 units. And to put some important context around this installed base number, I think it's always important to reflect on it and realize that what this means is that every working day, approximately 70,000 patients are protected from the risk of cross-contamination because the ultrasound probe used on them was decontaminated using trophon. And this is a number that continues to grow daily. Our operating profit before tax was 16.8 million. That was up just over 200% on prior corresponding period. And cash and cash equivalents at the end of June were up to 72.2 million. And that continues to provide strong foundation for accelerated investment in our growth. During the year, the trophon 2 was successfully launched in North America, Europe, and Australia. And we certainly have received very, very positive customer feedback to the new functionalities in trophon 2. Also, during the year, we broadened our geographical footprint through an expansion of the distribution agreement with GE HealthCare to include Norway, Denmark, Finland, Spain, and Portugal, as well as us signing some other new distributor agreements in Switzerland and Israel. And these agreements primarily came into place in the second half of the year. The benefits of those agreements such are expected to be recognized really in this year and beyond. In Japan, there was a lot of activity in Japan in the last 12 months as part of our market development efforts, including conducting the first local study that examined looking at ultrasound probe contamination, which did identify significant contamination. Having that study published in a peer-reviewed journal, we have established a wholly owned Nanosonics entity in Japan, and very recently, we've received regulatory approval for trophon 2 in Japan as well, as well as signing a distribution agreement with GE HealthCare in Japan. So lots of activity happening in Japan. But also, substantial investments were made in new product development. Indeed, approximately 11.5 million was invested during the year in R&D, and the majority of that was on new product development. And key milestones were achieved towards the introduction of the next significant new product, which we're targeting for the end of FY20, subject to regulatory approval. And importantly, further investments in our overall business capability and capacity were made with the addition of four new executives to the Nanosonics leadership team across regional leadership, strategy, operations, and marketing. And bringing that new capability into the organization is there to drive the next phase of Nanosonics growth. And the overall organization group reached 286 employees and team members. And we certainly plan to continue to expand our capability through our people into FY20. So overall, a very, very busy but highly productive year. Just expanding a bit on some of these key highlights. From an installed base perspective, the overall growth was up 18%, as I say, to just under 21,000 units. And this includes a new installed base of close to 3,000 units, or 19% growth in North America, where Trophon now has reached about 46% of the estimated 40,000 total market opportunity over there. And we are expecting similar numbers again in FY20, and our plans really are to keep this great rate of adoption up, with the aim of achieving close to 75% market penetration within 3 years. And of course, that's a position we have achieved here in Australia, and we don't see any reason why we cannot achieve that in North America. Trophon is now represented in all luminary sites in North America, and indeed can be found in approximately 5,000 hospitals and clinics, but there still is significant opportunity in all those hospitals, even those that do have Trophon. And we were looking for it to be adopted into all departments using ultrasound. And indeed, there is a major push to ensure all semi-critical probes are high-level disinfected in accordance with guidelines and requirements. And during the year, a decent percentage, over 40% of our direct sales in North America were actually into accounts that already had Trophon. So our strategy of going deep, doing the education, generating the awareness across all departments and their understanding of what medical procedures confer semi-critical status on the probes, thereby requiring high-level disinfection, is certainly working, and we continue to work on that. In Europe, the installed base grew 21% to 880 units, and the fundamentals for adoption have certainly strengthened in Europe. The sales process, however, is a lot more complex and somewhat labor-intensive, involving many stakeholders and steps compared to the United States. In Germany, for example, you know, the process normally involves a clinical evaluation up front, which can see a Trophon being placed in a clinic and trialed for approximately a month or so in a department. That'll be followed by a department evaluation, then establishment of a broader committee, including the decontamination department. They'll often appoint a hospital project manager, because we're looking at introducing multiple units, to lead a project. Ultimately, recommendation to a funding committee, followed by entering the budget process, and finally adoption. So quite a lengthy process. What is very encouraging, however, in Europe is we have conducted many successful trials, grown the pipeline strongly, and we are now progressing through the process with many units actually at budget approval stage. And the Trophon 2 is certainly meeting all the technical requirements over there in Germany, where there were some very specific technical requirements. And, you know, hospitals or influential hospitals like the University Frankfurt Hospital, who had adopted 22 EPRs, the original Trophon, they've actually upgraded to Trophon 2, which is great testimony to the new functionality and benefits of Trophon 2. And the Charité in Berlin, which is one of Europe's largest hospitals, has also now commenced adoption. In France, we had anticipated new guidelines from the Ministry of Health. We had hoped that they would have come a lot earlier in the FY19 financial year, but they came into place towards the back end in the fourth quarter. And now the pipeline is beginning to grow there in France. And similarly in the UK, where the sales process can be labor intensive, but again, the pipeline continues to grow strongly. We are in the UK experiencing longer budget approval processes, which may be due to some uncertainty around Brexit. But ultimately, we believe EuroBit does remain a great opportunity. The fundamentals have definitely strengthened, and we remain highly confident in its potential. And as a result of that, we are investing significantly in the region this year. We've just appointed a regional president for the European region, Ronan Wright, who starts on September the 9th. And Ronan comes with significant experience in the infection prevention market from a pan-European perspective. And we will also have plans for increasing the sales infrastructure across the countries where we are represented. So a lot planned for Europe in this coming year. Of course, as I mentioned, we have also expanded our geographical reach in Europe across the Nordics and Iberia, and we expect those to start kicking in for FY20 as well. It's also been a very busy period in Asia Pacific. The installed base grew by 6% to 1,480 units. And that's primarily still Australia, New Zealand, which is now approximately 75% market penetrated. But we do see a big opportunity for geographical expansion in Asia Pacific. And we have appointed a regional president for Asia Pacific, David Morris, who is focused on the development and implementation of our expansion strategy for the region. Spending a lot of time in Japan, where it has been a major focus. And as I mentioned, we have conducted the study up there, which did demonstrate that over 90% of the probe studies were actually contaminated. We have had that published and now presented and are educating the market on those results. We have established a wholly owned Nanosonics entity, the NANKK, up there. And we have very recently appointed a president for our Japanese operation as well, Katsumi Maruyama. Very recently, we also obtained regulatory approval for Trophon 2. So in the middle of the year, we had submitted for Trophon 2 approval, and we've just received that, but also signed a local distribution agreement with GE Healthcare Japan. So more work to do on the market development, but the efforts there are certainly increasing, and our investment is going to continue to increase there. And we did start towards the back end of this year as well, or the FY19, I should say, our market assessment work in China. We have done some visits to China. We've appointed a consultant helping us on the Chinese market. We've visited some of the largest hospitals in Beijing with the Chinese CDC, with regulatory authorities, as well as some preliminary discussions with some potential very large distribution and recognized partners up there. Initial indications, very, very positive. And as mentioned, we have appointed a regional president for the area, so we expect a lot more activity in market development and assessment work happening for us in China during this year as well. Shifting over to the financials briefly, as I mentioned, the total revenue was up 39% to 84.3 million. Breaking that down a little bit, North America was up 41% from 54.4 million to 76.5 million. And of that 76.5 million in North America, 31 million was associated with capital, which was up 29%, and 45.6 million was associated with consumables and service, and that was up 50% on prior corresponding period. In Europe and the Middle East, the revenue was up 27% to 3.8 million. And of that, capital was up 21% and consumables up 30% to 2.7 million. And that takes into account, of course, that the largest market for us at the moment in Europe is the UK, where it is the MES model. So we would expect the skew to be more towards the consumables rather than capital, because we don't recognize any upfront revenue from capital with the MES model. And in Asia Pacific, the revenue there was up 21% from 3.3 million to 4 million, and their capital was up almost 30% to 29%, and consumables and service up 20% to 3.2 million. Our OpEx for the year was broadly in line with expectations at $49.2 million, of which $11.4 million was in R&D. And of course, the majority of that was associated with new product development. And it is important to note that our investments ramped up in the second half of the year. And indeed, our Q4 OpEx run rate was $15.7 million. So what that means is using that Q4 run rate into FY20, that would give a baseline OpEx of $62.8 million. Our plans, however, are for further investment in growth, and we are guiding to an OpEx of approximately $67 million. Of that, we anticipate between $15 and $16 million will be in R&D. And from a profit before tax perspective, that was up over 200% to $16.8 million. And as you know, our R&D is fully expensed. And indeed, if we were to back out the R&D associated with new product development and just look at the profile of the base trophon business, then of course the profit profile looks even more positive for the base business. In terms of cash and cash equivalents, at June 30, there was $72.2 million available, and that provides ongoing strong foundation, as I say, for accelerated investment in growth. Our free cash flow for the year was $2.6 million. Now, that was down from $6.2 million in the prior corresponding period. However, what this cash flow does reflect is an increase in trade and other receivables, which was $11.1 million at the end of the year. And that increase in trade and other receivables was primarily due to aligning payment terms with our largest distributor, that's GE, with our standard payment terms. And also there was an increase in inventory of up to $5.1 million, and that was associated with the launch of T2. So that explains the free cash flow being down. It is worth noting when we consider our cash and cash equivalents position that capital management is regularly reviewed at the board. And considering the significant global healthcare challenges associated with infection prevention and the resulting potential opportunities for the development and introduction of new innovative solutions, currently we believe that investment in the long-term strategic growth agenda of the company is the best use of the company's free cash flow and capital reserve. However, this position will continue to be regularly reviewed. From a foreign exchange perspective, the company has generally benefited during the year from a stronger US dollar, and the results presented include a net gain in foreign currency of approximately $1.8 million. Very quickly, just a couple of points on R&D and new product development. So as I mentioned, we invested approximately $11.4 million in FY19, and the absolute majority of that was towards new product development. And very important and key milestones were met in our new product development, and we are still targeting for the end of this financial year for the introduction, all subject, of course, to regulatory approval. And I guess I'm preempting the inevitable questions, and I appreciate there is a desire that we divulge what the new product is, where we are at in the regulatory cycle, and what the associated market opportunity is. However, at this stage, I'm not in a position to do so. Hopefully, by the time we release our half-year results for FY20, I do hope to be in a much better position to provide more details, and believe me, I'm very much looking forward to doing so. It is worth noting, however, when we're talking about our product expansion strategy, that one important aspect of increasing our internal capability is we have appointed a chief strategy officer, that's David Morris, who used to be the chief strategy officer for Cochlear as well. And as well as a dedicated business development leader who together are putting a lot of effort on our product expansion strategy. both from an organic or in-house development opportunity perspective, as well as inorganic from a potential acquisition perspective. So there is a lot more effort being put into that in the business. And a few quick points on GE, who remain our largest distributor. And during FY19, the GE relationship has certainly strengthened and expanded, with GE now representing Trophon in a number of new countries across Europe, Nordics, and most recently in Japan. And I think that expansion is a great testimony, A, to the relationship, the ongoing relationship we have with GE, but also in Europe, the acknowledgement that the market is definitely changing over in Europe, and a lot more awareness coming through customers as to the requirements of high-level disinfection. Those new agreements primarily came through in the second half, and as I mentioned earlier, we do expect to see the benefits of those coming through in FY20 and beyond. And as you're aware, over 12 months ago, we did renegotiate our contract with GE, which resulted not only in the opportunity for more global expansion, which we are experiencing, but also negotiations about the provision of consumables in North America. And the result of this is that from this financial year, while GE can continue to provide consumables to their customers, Nanosonics will see a material increase in both revenue and margin from consumables sold through GE in North America due to a price increase from Nanosonics to GE. But the full effect of that we expect to be realized from the second half of this year. It is worth noting, however, that our FY19 consumable sales does not include any significant build-up in consumables inventory by GE. So just moving to the outlook for FY20, and as announced this morning, or detailed, we expect continued growth in the installed base in North America, with FY20 adoption quite similar to FY19. We expect our adoption in Europe to grow from our expanded geographical reach, obviously the stronger fundamentals with our guidelines now in place, and consequently through our educational efforts, etc., growing awareness. We are going to invest a lot more in the Nanosonics European infrastructure, and including we've just appointed, as I mentioned, a new regional president for the region. We expect, now that we're through a lot of the phases in the sales process, particularly in Germany, that now that they're in the budgeting process, following the positive trials, we expect sales to increase in Germany. And of course, starts commencing with sales now that we've got the new Ministry of Health guidelines that have come through in Q4 of FY19 in France. And of course, our managed equipment service business to continue to grow in the UK. As mentioned, you know, in the second half of the year, as a result of the renegotiated agreement with GE, we expect that material increase in both sales and margins from consumables, but that's come through in the second half. Investment in Asia Pacific and other markets to continue, and particularly Japan, and we'll continue to progress our assessments in China, as well as other parts of the Asia Pacific region. We do have accelerated investment in our total FY20 operating expenses, and we're guiding the market to an OPEX in the order of about 67 million. And that will include between 15 and 16 million in R&D, which is up over 30% on FY19. We are targeting, as I mentioned, the introduction of the next significant new product for the end of FY20, and subject to regulatory approval, and hopefully by the half I'll be able to talk a lot more about that. And also our expectations are for profit in FY20 are quite heavily weighted to the second half, and this expectation takes into consideration just the phasing of our planned investments, so the run rate we're going into this year, across new product development investments, the preparation for new product market introduction, and continued geographical expansion. So it also considers the phasing of the Trophon sales. So we still expect to be profitable, but weighted towards the second half of the year. Before I open to questions, I do want to take this opportunity to thank the whole Nanosonics team across all disciplines in the business for their dedication and relentless efforts throughout the year. While our team grew to 286 people during the year, considering we are now running a truly international organization, relatively, it's still a small group of people, but who are highly dedicated to our important mission, and I believe their achievements have been outstanding. So with that, I will now cross over to everybody and open to any questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Shane Storey from Wilsons. Please ask your question.
Thanks very much. Michael, perhaps we can begin with the operating cash flow. You did begin to dig into it, but we saw how some of those working capital impacts moderated in the second half. Could you share some insights on how we might see those movements work playing out in the first half versus second half in FY20? And I mean, would you expect the business to get back into a position where it's converting, you know, the majority of its EBITDA by the end of FY20?
Thanks for the question, Shane. It's McGregor here. There are two elements to the impact on our cash flow. One is relates to receivables, and that's primarily driven by a change in the trading terms we had with GE. I'd consider that to be a kind of like a permanent adjustment, so I wouldn't see that element of it changing. But in relation to the inventory component of that, the increase in inventory this year is in relation primarily to us producing both the Trophon EPR as well as Trophon 2. And as we phase out the EPR, we will see our inventory phase down in that sense. So that will we'll see that having a positive impact on our cash flow in the throughout the year. So I think it'll be sort of a gradual reduction throughout the year.
Okay, thanks. And while I've got you, McGregor, I'm just interested in the distribution of profit, I mean, over first half, second half, and I'm imagining the components of that difference primarily around gross margin in the second half, and then I'm imagining also a phasing of the OPEX into the first half in preparation for Product 2's debut next year. Would that be accurate?
That's right. They're the two important drivers, the increase in OPEX, which is felt in the first half, and in relation to the increase in the margin coming from the consumables price lift in relation to the change GE agreement in the second half. It's the combination of those two that has the most significant impact.
Thanks. So that's they're the only two questions I had. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thanks, Dan.
Your next question comes from the line of Josh Kanarakis from UBS. Please ask your question.
Hi, Michael and McGregor. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Josh, how are you?
Yeah, very well. So first question, just on consumables, a very strong second half print, I think was up 12%. I'm just interested to understand some of the usage trends maybe you can talk to in terms of, number of cycles and also just in terms of the pricing lever there, whether there's been any pricing lever pulled or is expected to be pulled over time for that consumables revenue line.
Yeah. Look, on the first of all, on the pricing really hasn't changed significantly over the last half. And obviously, as we get into the second half of FY20 with the change in the agreement with GE Healthcare, we will see a price uplift for us. In terms of usage, the usage pattern we're seeing is very, very similar to the past. So the growth is primarily driven associated with the increasing installed base, a bit of phasing associated with the timing of purchase by GE into inventory, and also a little bit of FX also between the first and second half, but they'd probably be the primary drivers.
Got it. And so just in terms of users of Trophon 2 versus EPR, no real difference in consumables?
No. They're cool. Designed to work exactly the same.
Yep, cool. Just second question on new product. Obviously, I won't try and poke around too much on that. But just to clarify, when we're talking about discussing it at the first half results, can you just give us a feel for what level the product will be at in terms of regulatory approval, in terms of distribution relationships, in terms of its go-to-market strategy when it is actually announced? Like, will it be a full sort of go-to-market when it is announced?
Look, there's a lot of questions in there.
Yeah.
A lot of things I want to answer at this stage.
Yeah.
So, you know, really by the end of the first half, I hope to be in a position to divulge a lot more granularity with respect to what it is, the status of regulatory launch plans, distribution strategy, etc. Should be in a much better position by then.
Okay, no worries. Just on Japan as well, obviously some progression over the half in that period. Can we just talk a little bit about expectations there, medium term, just how we should be looking at install base growth for that part of the business?
Yeah, look, I think it's still a way to go because, remember, Japan still doesn't have guidelines in place. But that being said, the amount of interest that is now growing is certainly growing in Japan. And we have placed a few units up in Japan in some early sites. We are participating in a lot of conferences up there. And as I mentioned, you know, we just signed on GE. But as GE know, the Japanese market is one where normally there's a lot of distributors covering the total Japanese market. And we're also currently in discussions with a number of other distributors to make sure we've got total geographical reach throughout the country. So we're not anticipating major or very material sales in FY20, but certainly continued strengthening the market fundamentals up there. It's where things should start kicking in very positively from FY21.
Understand. And just a final question just on China. Obviously, a large market, but trying to understand in terms of the go-to-market strategy there, the signposts we should be looking at, like should we be looking for guidelines in that market or regulatory approval, or is it more of a different type of enforcement of use strategy that will take place there?
Yeah, look, it's a longer-term play. China, we're still in the assessment. You know, preliminary indications are certainly very positive from our discussions with CDC and a number of big hospitals and even distributors up there. We will have regulatory hurdles that we have to overcome because, remember, the product, it doesn't have regulatory approval yet in China. And that can be a lengthy process, you know, up to 18 months potentially, unless there's some fast tracks that we can leverage. So still in assessment mode for China. Realistically, you're talking probably FY22 before it starts coming into you know, sales mode, I would imagine.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Matthias Smith from Canaccord. Please ask your question.
Hi, Michael and McGregor. Lovely result. Good to see. Just a few quick questions. Just following on the discussion on Japan, presumably from what you said, GE doesn't have exclusive rights there, so you'll be appointing multiple distributors. Are you going to have your own sales effort there, or is it primarily going to be a distributor relationship?
It'll be primarily a distributor. We have established our own NANKK, so our own entity, so we actually could set up our own infrastructure. But I think for success in Japan, we'll need quite a number of distributors. What we will do up there, Matthias, is we will, and we're actually currently hiring a number of local people more on the clinical application side to support the distributors rather than them being out there actively selling. They'll be there helping generate demand in there, acting as infection prevention specialists to support the distributors.
And that sort of leads on to the next question, the increase in operating expenditure that you've guided. Presumably, just from the commentary, most of that is going to be in terms of boosting the selling and general expense line. You've told us what the R&D is, which is $3.5 million before it was, and admin presumably won't change that much.
Yeah, so heavily weighted to out in the regions and R&D rather than back office.
Yep. And that would what that will you know the split between first half and second half, like is there going to be because a lot of hiring happening in this half, you know, maybe 60-20 on that increase? Sorry, 60-40.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the OPEX in our Q4 of FY19, the year
yep.
just gone, well, the OPEX there was about 15.7 million. So that's 31.4 million for a half straight away. So
kind of use a similar split for FY20.
Yep. Yep. So the incremental would probably be 50-50 between the first and second half, taking into consideration that the going in baseline is nearly 61 million.
Yep. Okay, that's great. And the final thing, one for McGregor, just following up on the comment around how you account for MES contracts. Can you just explain how, you know, when you do your capital consumable split for Europe, how are the capital equipment used in that? So do you allocate it over the length of a contract, or how do you sort of do that split when you're calculating it for Europe with those different business models in place?
Sure. The MES has two parts to it. It's essentially the customer pays a higher price, about twice the normal price for the consumable, and we recognize that revenue as the customer purchases it from us. That's essentially the only revenue stream that we have from the MES install base, and that's recorded, included as part of our consumables revenue. The cost associated with that is essentially the depreciation, and that's included in the gross margin, in the cost of sales. So it's essentially all in the consumables line there.
Okay. So when you've done the splits for Europe on the consumables versus capital, all of the MES contracts are just consumable revenue?
That's correct.
Correct.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
No worries.
Cheers, bye.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Wing from Evans and Partners. Please ask your question.
Good morning. I just had a follow-up question on the cash flows. I'm just struggling a little bit to understand the conversion there in light of the deal that you've done with GE. So you're saying that there's no increase or there's no inventory build for GE, but it would appear that there is some effect at the inventory line. Are you able to sort of provide some further color around that?
Yeah, I think, Steve, there's a couple of elements here. When Michael was talking about no inventory build for GE, that's our sales to GE and GE's inventory, which is different to our inventory.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Our inventory is impacted by essentially the effect of having both EPR and T2 in production. That's the inventory piece of it. And then I think you're referring to the deal with GE. Again, there are two different deals, if you like, with GE. One is in relation to our trading terms for receivables, which impact receivables. And then the other one is in relation to the pricing of the consumables. So because we have moved GE to our standard payment terms, our receivables with them have gone up. And that's a one-off adjustment to our working capital. The deal with GE, the commercial deal with GE, is going to be a second half issue, and that is when the price of the consumables will effectively increase to the end market price, and that too will have an impact on receivables, but in absolute terms, it's a different kind of arrangement, if you like.
Yep. No, that's clear. Yeah, absolutely clear. Thank you.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of John Deakin-Bell from Citigroup. Please ask your question.
Gentlemen, I just had a question around the North American sales. Can you just give us a sense of the split of the growth between upgrades to the Trophon 2 from existing users, from existing hospitals expanding their use and from new hospitals? Just ballpark some type of a feel of those different categories.
Yeah, John, in upgrades wise from EPR to Trophon 2, that was quite minimal during the year. It was just launched and probably even sub 100 for the total year. So that means that the majority of the revenue in North America from a capital perspective was associated with new install base growth, plus, of course, what we sold to GE into their inventory. And of the new installed base growth, probably close to about, certainly for our direct business, about a good 40% of it was associated with selling extra units into hospitals that had already commenced the adoption of Trophon. What we talk about is the importance of going deep into hospitals, because often hospitals may have started their adoption of Trophon just into one department. And however, you know, there can be up to 5 or 6 different departments within a hospital that use ultrasound. So what's important is going deep into all those different departments, educating them, ensuring that they understand what procedures that they're doing that confer semi-critical status on the probe, because it's all semi-critical probes that should be high-level disinfected. So it's actually very, very encouraging for us that that percentage is close to 40% and growing, because what it means is that we're being successful in the implementation of our strategies of going deep into the existing hospital base. Because remember, we're probably in about 5,000, you know, hospitals and clinics at the moment.
That's really good colour, thank you. And just on Europe, I know they're quite small numbers. I think plus 30 in the second half in EMEA, and obviously it's early days. But I'm assuming with, you know, you've got a whole bunch of trials going on, it's probably going to be similar numbers in the first half and then a more of an accelerated growth in the second half in Europe. Is that how we should think about that?
Okay. That's not a bad assumption. You know, as I highlighted, it is quite complex over there in Europe. And, you know, we probably could have and maybe should have put more resources on faster in Europe, but we're certainly addressing that now and expanding and putting on, the regional president, as well as increasing sales resources in each of those direct markets. So I think there is a timing, and your assumption first versus second half, probably not a bad way to look at it.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for your
thanks very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference back to today's presenters. Please continue.
Well, thank you all very much again for dialing in and your ongoing support of Nanosonics. And we'll continue to work very, very hard on your behalf to continue to grow this organization. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may all connect.